You're listening to the Audios Maximus Network. Expand your mind. Widen your world. Many countries, one nation. www.audiosmaximus.com.
This is Jimmy from Four Mag Nitrous, and you're listening to the Tour Bus Music Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to Season 6 and Episode 38 of the Tour Bus Music Show. I'm your host, T-Mike, and it is great to be back. Our special guest on today's episode is Bad Wolf from Orlando, Florida. But before we get started, we just wanted to let you know our time off has been very productive, and what has come from it is a lot of great shows and a lot of great guests and music planned for you this season. One of the biggest pieces of news for you is that the Tour Bus Music Show will now be a weekly show, with interviews from hot independent national acts, shows with topics geared towards musicians that are working hard to build their bands and get their music out to the world. We'll also have lessons and tips from industry professionals on how to get your group or act to the next level. We'll also have album reviews and lots more. One thing new that will be coming this season is a lot more video content, as well as articles and, of course, more pictures of our adventures as we bring the world of rock to your ears and eyes on a weekly basis. Of course, there's lots of ways to find the show, and here are just a few. You can catch us on iTunes, Zoom, BlackBerry Podcast, and as always, you can listen to us on Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't have Stitcher? Don't worry, you can bring the bus to you by going to Stitcher.com/the Tour Bus Music Show and downloading the Stitcher app. Want more? For everything going on in the Tour Bus Music Show, you can go to thetourbusmusicshow.com for all the latest news, events, and the shows, of course. You can also catch us at our main network site at amnpodcast.com. One last thing, be sure that if you like the show, don't forget to spread the word to your friends. And if you really want to show your support for the show, go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Now a word from our sponsor and we're off to the show. Today's episode of the Tour Bus Music Show is brought to you by Limos.com. Whether you're headed out to your favorite concert, catching a ride from the airport, or if you just want to look like a rock star for your night on the town, go to Limos.com to get the role that makes you rock.
Tales from the Back of the Bus.
Bad Wolf, End of the World.
The end of the world. And there's already begun. It's still
Hello, everyone. This is T-Mike with the Tour Bus Music Show. And on the line tonight, I have a band from Orlando that when I went out scouting for this season's shows, they just stuck out amongst some of the very best. And surprisingly, though, being together for a relatively short period of time, this band has the sound of a band far beyond that in its years. Guys, if you'd like to introduce yourselves.
Yeah, I'm Adriel from Bad Wolf.
And I'm Joey from Bad Wolf.
And Bad Wolf, I have to say, guys, before we really get into the interview, the main thing that stuck out to me on your music is not only your ability, but the production just sounded great of the music. And it harkens back to me to a time when solos really mattered and when vocals and harmonies really mattered and people actually stretched their vocal ranges a little bit. But what's so unique is the sound is completely modern. It's modern rock sound with the talent of years ago.
Thank you. We try.
Well, I understand that you two were originally from different states before moving to Florida and then starting the band. I mean, could you tell us in your own words how the group came together?
You'll let you tackle that one.
Well, yeah, actually, all of us sort of are from different places, but I'm actually from Atlanta, and our singer Randy's from Texas. Joey's from South Florida, and Mike, our drummer, is also from South Florida. So we all kind of came to this central area to
meet in the middle.
Yeah, meet in the middle to launch this thing.
And any reason in particular that you picked Florida?
The close markets, you know, a couple hour drives to get to a completely different market. It's very convenient. And also, kids down here seem to be really perceptive to rock music. It's, you know, it's rock and roll is, I guess, a dying breed. So it's like, you know, you take it where you can get it. And here it seems like there's just, you know, you do a local show here and there's 700 kids. You do a local show in Atlanta and it's not quite as lucrative. You know, you maybe you pull 100 people or something. And so the scene down here seems really apt for it.
We're also able to tap into the tourist market with the venue selection we have here in Orlando. We have the House of Blues, the Hard Rock, just some of the really bigger venues that we're
Social is nice.
And we're going to get to something about that a little bit later.
Okay.
But before we do, I mean, what was it like? Okay, you're moving down to Florida, you know, from different states, and you're trying to locate musicians. I mean, what was it like actually getting the band together?
We originally moved here with a different drummer and then got Mike after that. I mean, really, we had a plan before we even got here. It was, everything was pretty, we're all a little older, at least I am, you know, a little older, like we're not teenagers. So we were pretty methodical about everything. And as far as like building the songs and building the music, we're fortunate enough to have our own studio. So we could really, instead of just sitting around the room jamming songs and then figuring out what we're going to do next, we could literally just record our ideas and put them out. So that really sped up the whole process in getting here and getting situated and getting the name out there.
Okay, so you say you have a studio there. Would you mind sharing with some of the other musicians out there that are putting together home studios for their own use what type of gear you have your studio outfitted with?
Well, I would tell you, but then I would have to kill you.
Ah, I see.
yeah, it's just I've had a home studio in some shape or form for years. I mean, it kind of became what I do for a living by accident, because originally I bought some stuff and set it up at my old house years and years ago, my previous band, just to demo ideas, and it ended up being something that now I do for a living when I'm not worried about my music. So it's, as far as gear goes, I use Pro Tools like everybody else, is the standard, and I got a nice vocal booth and some nice microphones and nice outboard gear, millions of plugins. You know, everybody's, you know, all about in the box these days. But it's nice. You know, it does the job, and all the gear that I have is just as pro as going and paying $1,000 at some studio down the street. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you, you gotta love modern technology. It wasn't quite that easy back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so here we are at the end of 2011. I mean, Bad Wolf at this time has all of its members in place. You have your own studio to your advantage, and you guys are putting together, from what I'm hearing, a group of really great songs. I mean, can you tell us about the experience of, you know, you've got the group together, trying to get everything meshed together, kind of get a feel for each other, I mean, what was it like for you? And for that matter, what is the process like for putting together a Bad Wolf song? And no, you can't shoot me for asking this one.
Me and singer Randy usually sit down in the studio and go through the ideas that I have and pick stuff that is, you know, that he's gelling with. And we just build them from there. And then we test them out in the band room. And if it works, then we record them. So we have, you know, we have songs that we've released as singles, but we also have lots of like so-called demos that actually, you know, they sound legit, but there are demos because, you know, we want to play them out and tweak them, of course. But so we basically go idea, record it, play it, tweak it, and then release it. So it's nice. It's a nice setup to be able to do that. You know, we're fortunate enough to be able to do that.
I mean, do you actually put your music out in front of a crowd and kind of gauge their reactions as well, or you just, you know, put it out there and be?
We usually kind of live in our little bubble and make the music, and then we test them out. And yeah, there were a few songs here or there that maybe don't come across as well live, but will be great on the record. Or, you know, a couple of the first songs we ever wrote, you know, we kind of moved on past them. There's nothing wrong with them, but as the sound, you know, since we are a fairly young band trying to do things quickly, trying to do things, you know, as a speedy process, you're gonna evolve. And so of course a couple songs here and there, maybe we just kind of put it on the shelf, but for the most part, like, we do it all and then hope it goes well. And for the most part, everything has gone really well here in Orlando. People are giving us a warm reception.
All right, well, we're going to skip ahead now. It's 2012. You guys have been jamming together for a few months now, and it's May. And, you know, one thing that really got me is seeing you guys play the House of Blues there. I mean, House of Blues around the country, you know, is a great gig, but you're in a premier city for the House of Blues. I mean, how in the world do you go about getting that gig at that stage of getting the band going?
Well, we were actually invited. Friends of ours in a couple of the other bands were putting together a show, and we were a fresh band at the time. We didn't have a band name yet. We didn't have a band name, and they were like, "Man, you guys want to do your first show?" Our debut show. And it was actually kind of funny because we had talked about, man, if we're going to do our first gig here, you know, we're building all these songs, they're turning out really well. You know, we want our first gig to really matter. We want to make an impact. So let's do something crazy, like try to get into House of Blues. And sure enough, like 2 weeks later, my buddy calls me and goes, "Hey, we're putting together a show. Are you guys ready yet?" And I was like, "We will be." So that's kind of how it happened. I mean, you know, we've been showing our friends, you know, the stuff we've been working on, and everybody was really excited for us. So that's pretty much how it happened.
Well, you know what they say, if you believe that you can do something, you can generally tend to make it happen.
The power of the mind. Correct. We shot out mind bullets and made it happen.
Well, I'll tell you, that had to be a real trial by fire. I mean, what was the crowd's reaction to the band coming out?
It was great. I mean, there was probably 700 kids there. Like I said, in comparison to what I was used to in Georgia, where I'm from, you know, it was pretty crazy to play a local show as an unsigned band, first show, brand new band, and be able to walk out there on a large stage and have a venue like that filled with kids who are just happy to go see bands play. It was wonderful. So it was a little nerve-wracking. I mean, that stage is big. So, you know, like, obviously all of our practice had been in a practice room or whatever until that point. So, you know, to run out there on that big stage, it was like, whoa, here we go. But it was great.
Well, speaking of the band's music, it's time to feature another song from the group. And this one's called Grip. I watched the video that you have online. And as a matter of fact, just a little bit earlier today before the interview, I was talking to somebody that I work with. And he pulled you up on the iPhone and saw it. And I remember you guys making a mention of the young lady you had that was in the video. He actually made a similar comment. can you tell me what it was like, what's behind the story of the song and the experience of putting together the video and recording that song?
I'll let Adriel tackle the importance behind the song, and then I'll get into the actual process.
Well, we actually wrote the script or the video treatment, I guess as it's called, ourselves. We, you know, that video was very budgeted, and you know, we're not rich. So we did as much as we could on our own, and we just sat down, listened to the song, and tried to put into visual form the best we could what the point was we're trying to get across. Obviously, you know, we don't want to give away, you know, the specifics of what a song is about or personally where it's coming from, but as a general vibe, we wanted to put together a little bit of a storyline just to, because the song is basically about the struggle of a couple who are volatile, you know, together. A lot of love, but a lot of just a lot, you know, a lot of fire, a fiery romance. And the, so that was, you know, so we did the best we could to kind of put that in into the video, and we were lucky to have friends of ours come and do it for us.
Yeah, we had a Bobby Keegan, the Aflex Club. He was the director behind the video. That entire video that you see was on the fly in one day.
yeah.
We had weather restraints. The initial place we were going to do the live band shots fell through. We came down there in the morning, I think. We might have slept over the night before. And then the guy said everything fell through, and we only, with all our schedules, had one day to shoot it. So we made a bunch of phone calls, called a bunch of friends up. I called in Sam Milano. She's the girl in the video. Mike Gentile, he's the actor, the male actor. Besides that, we just pretty much pulled our resources and crossed our fingers, and we busted out that full video
right
in one day.
That the fighting scenes in that video are actually shot in my dad's apartment. So it's we kind of just made it work, you know?
Wow, I mean, we do filming ourselves, and to pull some a production like that together in one day, and I'll be honest with you, the video looks really good.
Thank you.
The production value was very good on it. And like I said, it just amazes me you pulled it together in one day.
Oh, we were surprised too.
Yeah, we ran around crazy trying to get it done.
I think at one point we had literally a 45-minute window gap to drive from where we were to Palm Beach Island to shoot the restaurant scene in verse two.
Right.
They literally opened the restaurant for us, and they're like, you have 45 minutes before the restaurant opens, get your shots in and get out. And we hustled everyone over there within like 10 seconds, and we pulled it out.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Bad Wolf, Grip.
Love was all of
getting into the sound of the group, I mean, what can I say? Coming from a musician of the 80s and 90s, I mean, I think your group has something really unique in this day and age. And we were talking about it before we actually started the interview. But you've got a driving sound, great harmonies in your vocals, and a singer with a great vocal range to boot. But, I mean, you've got remarkable ability for just the chord structures in your songs and the way they mesh together. And, my God, guitar solos. I really admired that. I mean, what is the story and how do you make this all come together with a modern rock sound, with the style that it's just been gone for years and is really missing in today's music? I mean, what's the deal? Is it influences or just a combination of all of you and your individual styles? I mean, what gifts?
I'd say it's probably a little of both. Obviously, like, the people who are in this group have come together because we have similar things that we like in common, but then we also have complete differences in our backgrounds, which helps kind of make it come to life. I mean, initially, I grew up as like a guitar shredder kid, you know, just all I wanted to do was sit in my room, play guitar all day. So some of that reflects in the music, but at the same time, you know, I'm also a fan of really simple music, really simple, you know, 50s and 60s songs and classics and stuff that people would completely overlook. I'll sit down with the acoustic and go, hey, listen to this. This is a beautiful chord change, or this is a great melody. And it seems like just the way music has gone, people have gotten away from melody. Mm-hmm. And that's just something that's really important to us.
Getting back to 2012, I mean, how did you guys spend the rest of the year after your opening gig? I mean, what happened for the band in that year?
I think for us, we wanted to really tackle the Orlando market, our local fan base. Like I said, we came out at House of Blues as our first gig, which was awesome. And it really helped drive our fan base. But, you know, we really didn't have that rapport with the other local venues at the time. So it was definitely one of our goals to make sure we got put in front of those venue owners or promoters and really show them what we could do as far as bringing in the fans and putting in the work. So, you know, the rest of the year we spent tackling each of the venues. And now I can say we, you know, are on call for almost all of these venues. We just, you know, we came to the shows, sold out all our tickets, put on the show they were looking for, and really just earned our place here for the moment.
That's great. I mean, it's getting time now that we're going to hear another song from the band. The song that we're going to play next is called Rescue. Can you tell us a little bit about this song and how it came about?
It was pretty much modeled after Chicago's song on the Karate Kid soundtrack. I know that sounds ridiculous, but again, like I was saying, that the influences and the ideas spark from some of the weirdest places and overlooked, you know, greatly overlooked songs. I'm a big fan of movie soundtracks and big 80s fan. And I actually had nothing to do with that at first, but it started to evolve. And we're like, you know what? This song should be about rescuing someone from their problems or from a terrible situation, being the knight in shining armor. And then we started, you know, going, oh, remember that Chicago song from the Karate Kid soundtrack? I am the man who will fight. And we're like, oh yeah, we should do like a modern version of that. Something that obviously isn't going to come across goofy, but like a modern dramatic, I am the hero kind of song. So that's kind of how it happened.
And our first single.
Yeah. And it was our first single. And it seemed to be like the perfect for introductory song because it shows off a couple of different elements of the band.
Well, I know this is a hard rock show, but personally, I can tell you there's a lot of other bands that you'd been worse off to be influenced by than Chicago. They're a hell of a band.
Right. But, you know, you say that to a lot of people these days, and they're going to be like, who?
Oh, yeah. I guarantee you. I really have to admire the fact that you even knew about that.
Yeah. That's 80s. That's the 80s for you.
Bad Wolf. Rescue.
She's too afraid that cut through a shadow. The only magic left to lovers when love's gone away.
Okay, guys, and now here we are at the beginning of 2013. Can you tell us about what is currently going on with the group and what do you have in the works for early this year?
Well, we have some touring. We have a record that's about to get started to be tracked. We're going to go and do drums somewhere, and then we're going to lock ourselves in the studio here and track all the, you know, vocals. And most of the stuff we've done is pretty much done, but we're going to tweak things and maybe retrack some guitar parts, some vocals. Obviously we've played these songs live, so they've changed a little bit. You know, we've tested them and then we go back and say, okay, well, you know, live, you know, Randy will say, I've been singing it like kind of like this live. And so, you know, we'll tweak things here and there, but it'll be a little bit of a process. And then, we're gonna build that up and get that out, and hopefully in time for summer tours. I'm usually in charge of the music end of things, and Joey's in charge of the touring and booking and
the business.
And I try to stay out of that as much as possible.
You're speaking of tours this coming summer. Is there any chance of making it out our way in Louisiana at some point?
I think that's absolutely going to happen. We were teaming up with a few bands. We have one in North Carolina and another band in Tallahassee, and I believe those routings will absolutely go through Louisiana. So we'll have to definitely stop in there, do an in-house interview, catch up with you.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That sounds great. We're looking forward to seeing you.
I was going to say, I'll bring my guitar. You bring your bass, and we'll shred.
That would be fun. aside from the music, I mean, getting into, I don't want to get too deep into your personal life, but I'm sure you have some interest outside of music. Can you tell us a little bit about what you like to do when you're away from the band?
Play more music. I'm just kidding.
I would definitely say more than interests, almost obsessions, you know, work out on the constant.
Yeah, we're all kind of like, we're all pretty healthy. We all eat really healthy and we're all in the gym like 5 days a week and stuff. Like we all kind of have that in common, which is cool. We're all like very, very, you know, obviously we'll go out and enjoy ourselves and drink, you know, with our friends and stuff. But at the same time, we all eat really healthy and all have gym memberships and stuff. So that's something that we're always like, on the same page with. Like if you open our cabinets here at the house, it's just filled with supplements and workout supplements and stuff.
Also say besides the workout, tattoos has definitely got to be.
Tattoos is another one. That's a pretty typical one for rock bands.
But more so for us.
And more so for Joey, because he's completely covered.
I can relate. That ink is contagious. You're currently going out to listeners in 105 countries. You got thousands upon thousands of, I know you've got a lot of fans in the area, but you're going out to a lot of new fans tonight. Is there anything you would like for each of them to hear from all of you?
I mean, I would definitely just say a big thank you to the support that we've received thus far and the continued support and the new fans. You know, we can't thank you enough for getting behind our music and our drive. You know, a lot of bands these days seem almost corporate, you know, and it's hard for a band to really break locally. So, you know, like I told you earlier, we really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to do this interview and be put in front of those fans. It means a lot from us, especially just being a local band currently helping us get to that next level.
And I don't speak 100 different languages, so I would just like to say in English, thank you for listening and definitely tell your friends to go and listen to us.
Well, guys, I'm going to tell you something. One thing I've discovered over time and playing in front of lots of fans and good friends that I've made over the years, it isn't about this show or anything that people like me in the limited media that's actually interested in helping bands do, but it's really about bands like you. You know, you're in the trenches every day pumping this stuff out, and if it wasn't for guys like you, we wouldn't be doing anything. So thank you.
That's awesome. We're gonna keep working. We're gonna keep pumping them out. So don't you worry.
Well, guys, it's coming to the end of this episode. I really want to thank you for taking the time to come on the show tonight.
Anytime.
Before we go, we're going to hear one last song from the band and give you a chance to say goodbye for now, at least, to all your fans worldwide. If you'd be so kind as to tell us a little bit about this song and then kind of tell your fans goodnight, we'll pack up the bus and head off to the next episode.
This song is about downtown Orlando. It's about drama and drinking and crazy Friday nights. It's about our experience moving here and heading downtown, as opposed to a lot of the other songs that we write that are a little more lovey-dovey. This one's a little more sassy.
Bad Wolf, Underneath.
Status, but I've never cared about it. So emotional, a chemical reaction, but I don't get too attached, 'cause I know she's all about it. I'll ride you, I'll love so, say it reminds.
Well, that's about all the time we have for this week's show. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your life to share it with us. Please join us next week as we'll be talking with Delana from Los Angeles, California, and rocking to four great songs of hers. Until then, you can check her out at DelanaRocks.com. That's spelled DelanaRocks.com. Please don't forget that if you like the show, be sure to tell your friends and please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Until next time, this is T-Mike telling you to live your life out loud and rock out with your pot out.
The Tour Bus Music Show is a production of the Audios Maximus Network, a division of Global Stage Media. All rights reserved. All interviews and music heard on this show are used with the express permission of the copyright owners. No portion of this show may be reused without permission of the copyright owners and or Global Stage Media, LLC. For more information and show credits, please visit www.thetourbusmusicshow.com/info and www.audiosmaximus.com. Be sure to catch the show and don't miss the bus.